So yesterday I thought my father would give more of a shiur on the blot that we're learning, but I see he gave more of an introductory shiur to Avodah Zarah Bechlal. So I thought maybe we should just have some sort of shiur on the beginning, what we're learning. So let's begin the Gemara. I want to talk a little bit about the Gemara. It's an Agadah to Gemara, but it's Nogeh Halacha Lamaisa a little bit. The Gemara that talks about the story of Maimon Har Sinai. So let's begin with the Gemara Baba Basra Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara has an interesting sugya, which is very relevant to Chosha Mishpat. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Talyu of Zavin, many of us have learned this Gemara, when they pressure somebody to sell something, Zvine Zvine. So we assume that that Mechira is a good Mechira. Even though I come to the person and I pressure him that I want to buy it, and he wasn't planning on selling it to me, but if in the end of the day I buy it from him, I give him money, and he hands over the item, so then we assume the Mechira is considered a good Mechira. Zakhtar Rashbam, why should we assume that Talyu of Zavin, Zvini Zvini? So the Rashbam says, we're talking about a case where you torture someone, you give him Yisurim, real Yisurim, until the person agrees. So then we assume, once he agrees, even though you tortured him and you pressured him into agreeing, but in the end of the day, once he agrees, so then you're not allowed to be chozer from the Mechira, because we assume that you had a Gemiras Das to really sell it to that person. Says the Gemara, why is that true? Because the Gemara goes on to say, called the Mazvin in Ishi Lavda Anes Lahavi Mazvin, meaning, any time a person sells anything, any time I'm selling any item that belongs to me, Rashi, the Rashbam explains over there, Rov Chafetz Mekli Beis of a Talisa Shada Mocher, meaning, whenever I sell my jacket, I sell my shoes, I sell my talis, anything I'm going to sell in my life, we assume it's not because somebody pressured me to sell it, it's because I'm under some financial duress, I'm under some financial distress, and therefore I have to sell to somebody else in order to be able to afford my life, my food, my lifestyle. So therefore, says Rashi, the Rashbam, that any time there's a Mechira, any time I sell anything to somebody, it's because I'm under some sort of duress. It's not from an outside source, but it's from myself, because I don't have any money, so I need money now, so I sell my jacket, I sell my house, I sell my car, I sell my shoes. So too over here, if the pressure comes from an outside source, if somebody pressures me to sell, that's also going to be considered a Mechira, because there's a Gemiras Das. The same way that when I'm pressured because of myself, that's considered a Gemiras Das, because in the end of the day I hand it over. So too over here, when there's a pressure from an outside source, in the end of the day, if there's a Gemiras Das, that's considered to be a Gemiras Das once it's handed over. So the problem is, you come to our Gemara here in Avodah Zarah Daf Beis Amud Beis, which is really the parallel Gemara to Masechet Shabbos Daf Peches. So you have the Gemara says, Amar Rav Dimi Bar Chama Bar Chasa, Malamid Shekaf Aleim Har Kegigas. The Gemara darshans from the Pasuk Vayisyatsu B'sachta Sahar, that Klal Yisrael on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai stood at the Pimount of the mountain. Everyone was standing there ready to accept the Torah. And the Gemara tells us that Malamid Shekaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Asahar Kegigas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the mountain and he held it over the Jewish people's heads like a gigas. So we were threatened. V'amar lahem, ima tem mekab mesa Torah muta. If you're going to say, nasa v'nishma, you're going to accept the Torah, then great, everything's wonderful, and no problem at all. V'im lav, but if you're not going to accept the Torah, sham teiku raschem. So the famous Gemara. Amar abacha bar Yaakov, which is not found in our Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos Peches has a little addition to the story, so it says, Amar abacha bar Yaakov mikan, from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came over here and forced us, so to speak, to accept the Torah, kafa leim har kegigas, mikan moda rabba la raisa. What does that mean? Rashi explains over there in Masechet Shabbos. Shem yazminam ledin, la'acham eva esrim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to call each and every one of us in, and he's going to ask us, what happened? How come you didn't keep the Torah? So what are we going to say? I couldn't, it was too hard. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Was it harder than this person who was suffering? Was it harder than that person who didn't have any money? And still they kept the Torah. Hillel HaZaken, and it says about Yosef HaTzadik, all the examples the Gemara gives. So what excuse are we going to have? Says the Gemara, yes, we have an excuse. Im yazminam ledin, lama lo kiyamte, ma shekibaltem aleichem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us the difficult question, I gave you a Torah and you accepted it. You said Nasam and Ishma, you said you wanted it, so how come you didn't keep it? So the Gemara says, yesh lechem tshuva, you can answer the Ribbono shel Olam with chutzpah a little, but you have an answer, shekiblu avonos. Hey, it's not my fault, I didn't ask for this. You forced it upon me, kavayachal. You came kafaleim hakagigas, so that's why I accepted it. But really, if it were up to me, I wouldn't have accepted it at all. So when the Ribbono shel Olam is going to do a din v'cheshbon, we can get out of it by saying, kafaleim hakagigas, that's so to speak our excuse. So the Beis Ephraim and the Chassam Sofer and the Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, everyone has the same kasha. The Tshuva is Beis Yitzchak, everyone has the same kasha. You put the two Gemaras together, how does this make sense? We have a Gemara that we just learned, Tal Yulav Zavin Zvini Zvini. If somebody forces me to buy something, if in the end of the day there's a mekach, there's a mechira, I give him something, he gives me something in exchange, we assume that agavon se gamir makne, the person is pressuring me to do it, but in the end of the day, if I agree, so that's an agreement, as long as it's a mekach umemkar. So over here also, the Rabbanu Shalom came, kafaleim hakigigas, he forced us to be mekabel the Torah, but in the end of the day, there was some sort of exchange. So that's like a mekach umemkar, that's like a business transaction. So in Cain, we assume it's gamir makne, we did it, midatena, we did it because we wanted to accept it. It doesn't matter that it came about only because the Rabbanu Shalom forced it on us, but in the end of the day, once he forced it on us, so it's ours. Once it's ours, how does the Gemara say, Madar Rabba La Raisa, we have a right to get out, to say an excuse? That really, you forced it upon us, I didn't really mekabel b'leiv shalem. It wasn't really my Kabbalah. It's not true. Of course it was a Kabbalah b'leiv shalem. If we assume that Talyu of Azav and Zvini Zvini, so then how does this Gemara make any sense when it says, Madar Rabba La Raisa, and we have a way out when we're going to be brought to a Din V'cheshmet? So this is the kasha that all the Yacharenim ask. Paradically, the Mishnah Lamelech points out in Hilchas Mechira, where he talks about the din of Talyu V'Zavin, so Mishnah Lamelech points out from the Mordechai and Parakani Zakin, it's Mashma, that we say Talyu V'Zavin only by a Stamonis, meaning, somebody comes to me and he walks into my store, I'm a merchant, he walks into my store and he's making me crazy. He wants to buy the item, he wants to buy this, he wants to buy, he keeps making me crazy. So, that's a Stamonis, the guy just, I can't get him to stop driving me crazy, so in the end of the day I say, you know what, you want it, here, give me money, goodbye, get out of my store, don't come back. So that's what we assume, Talyu V'Zavin Zvini Zvini, in the end of the day there was an exchange, so once there was an exchange, we assume that Gamaru Makne. However, the Mordechai writes, what if a person comes with a gun to my head, and he says, you better give me that item or I'm going to kill you. That's not Stamonis, that's not the guy being annoying, that's not him coming into my store and heckling me, no, that's a lot further, he's coming with a gun to my head and he says, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to kill you. So once that's what we're describing, that it's not stam an onus, it's a real onus gummer, then says the Mordechai, it's a mechudesh de kashita, but the Mordechai holds, that Talyu of his oven loves vine. Why? Because we assume the only reason I agreed to it is because he held a gun to my head. I didn't really have a gemiras das to want to take it. I only did it because I don't want to get killed. If I only did it because I don't want to get killed, that's not considered a real gemiras das. So says the Mordechai, that would not be considered a valid mechira. So ask the Mishnah Lamelech, if the Mordechai is correct, so then when you come to our Gemara, the Gemara says, Madar Rabba Lo Raisa. Why? Because we assume that's Talyu of Yaiv. Correct? The Mishnah Lamelech obviously is answering this kasha. The Mishnah Lamelech assumes, again, the Gemara there in Baba Basra contrasts two different things. What if a guy walks into my store every day and he says, I want to buy this, I want to buy this, I want to buy this, but I don't want to pay money for it. It's not called buying, that's called stealing. It's called taking it. So in the end of the day, if he makes me so crazy till I say, you know what, take it and get out of here, so is that mechira chal or not? That mechira is not chal. That's called talyu v'yav. The person makes me crazy enough until I give it to him for free, so then I didn't have a gemiras das to give it to him. So says the Mishnah Lamelech, when it came to Kabbalah Satara, what happened? The Rabbanu Shalom forced us, and the Gemara says, Modal Rabba La Raisa. Aye, we assume that, talyu v'zavin, zvini, zvini, so how can you say, Madar Rabba La Raisa, how can you say that we can really get out of it and say, the reason we didn't keep the Torah is because we didn't have a Gemiras Das, either was an exchange, says the Mishnah Lamelech, the answer has to be, why? That's like Talyu V'Yav. That's Talyu V'Yav. We didn't give money for it. The Rabbanu Shalom forced it on us, he just gave it to us. So that was the end of the story, that's what the Mishnah Lamelech says. But says the Mishnah Lamelech, over here, where it was an Onis Gomer, if you hold like the Mordechai that says that when there's an Onis Gomer, you hold a gun to somebody's head, and the end of the day, if you give it to the person, the Mechira is not a Mechira, or the giving over is not a giving over. Why? Because obviously the only reason I agreed to it is because that was an Onis Gomer that was put against a gun put to my head. So he says over here, when you come to... I'm sorry, I'm saying it wrong. The Mordechai says when there's an Onis Gomer, I'm sorry, I said it backwards. The Mordechai says when you have an Onis Gomer, when you have an Onis Gomer, the person puts a gun to my head, so Faker, he says then even Talyu V'Yoev would be considered a good Mechira. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. The whole point is off. That's when I caught myself. The Mordechai says when you put a gun to somebody's head, so then we assume that even Talyu V'Yoev would be considered a good Mechira, would be a good Nesina. Why? Because I'm under such pressure, I'm so afraid for my life, so I'm Gomer Makni even in such a case. That's what the Mordechai says. So, Frekta Mishnah Lamelech, if that's true, so then back to the Kasha. How do you understand our Gemara? You say, Madar Rabba La Raisa. We have a way out by saying, oh, I didn't really accept it, you forced on me. That wasn't Stama forcing on me, that was forcing on me holding a gun to my head. You held a mountain over my head. What do you think I'm going to say? Mishnah Lamelech leads out with a Tzarachian. So, the Chassam Sofer from the Tshuva tries to give a teretz. It's very complicated, but the Mishnah Lamelech says, I have a bomb Kasha on the Mordechai. How can he say such a thing? How do you understand this Gemara? Be it as it may, leaving out the Mordechai Shita for a minute, we don't paskin like that, so leaving out the Mordechai for a minute, how do you understand what the Achronim's Kasha is? The Chassam Sofer has the Kasha, the Beis Ephraim has the Kasha. How do you understand what's Pshat in our Gemara here? The Gemara says we have a right to get out of the Kabbalah Satorah by saying, you forced it upon us. What do you mean? If somebody forces something upon you, as long as you accept it, and you pay money, and there's an exchange, we assume that's a Mekach U'Memkar, there's a Gemiras Das, and that would be considered a Gamar U'Makni. So how do you get out of the Kasha? So the Beis Ephraim quotes from the Ma'arit al-Gazi, that the Ma'arit al-Gazi said the following teretz. You want to know why? He says, the only time we say, tol yuv ezav in zvini zvini, the only time we say, if somebody comes and makes me crazy, then in the end I give it to him, I give him the item, when do we assume it's a good mechir and there's a gemiras das? That's only when he gives me the money right away. The guy gives me money, I give him the item, okay, so we understand, there's a mekach u'memkar, I was gomer u'makni, he gave me the money, I gave him the item, shalom ha'yisrael. But he says, over here, the next gemara, in Abadazar daf gimel amin aleph, for the gemara says, hayom la'sosam l'machal akabos charam, since Schar Mitzvah by Yamaleka, the Gemara Kiddushin, that there's no such thing as getting Schar B'Olam Hazeh, so once you assume like that, he says, that's like Tol Yuv Yoev, that's not a Mechira, that's not a Zvini, there was no transaction going on, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't give us money right away, or we didn't give him, whatever it was, we didn't pay for it, so you can't contrast this, you can't say it's comparable at all to the case of Tol Yuv Ezav and Zvini Zvini, because we didn't get money right away. Just hold on to your question for 1 minute. So the Ramban, just, it's interesting to note, the Ramban says on this idea that Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka, it's the next Gemara we're going to learn, for those who are up to Daf Gimel and Aleph, so we had that Gemara, Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka, so the Ramban points out in Emunah Bitachon, how can you say Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka? We have a Mefurshe Gemara Mesecha Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel that gives a bunch of examples where a person is going to get Schar B'Olam Hazeh. For example, says the Gemara, Hazar B'Tzitzis, somebody who is careful to wear tzitzis, is Zachal Talis Na, the Ribbono Shel Olam will pay you back, and you'll have talis na, you'll always have nice clothing. Says the Gemara, Zar bin mezuzah, zoch aladira na. Someone who's careful to put up mezuzahs and do everything kedas kedin, you're going to have a nice house to live in. Hazar bin kiddush hayom, someone who's careful to say kiddush every Shabbos, zoche mamale garbe yain. He's always going to have otsaras full of yain in his house. Frekter Ramban Akasha. How can you say schar mitzvah by Amaleka in the same sentence that you also say that if you do these few mitzvahs, you're going to get schar b'olam hazeh? You're going to get a dira no, you're going to have a talis no, and you're going to have garbe yayin. So how can you say such a thing if schar mitzvah by Amalek? Zok the Ramban, a very important yisoid, the Ramban says, the Gemara only gives these specific examples of getting paid back. Why? Because these are three places where we find that it's really a reshus, but a person can be mechayiv himself to do it anyway. For example, as we know, tzitzis, you're not mechayiv to put on a four-cornered garment. If you go ahead and you do it anyway, says the Gemara, well, you're going above and beyond for me, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, then I'm going to go above and beyond for you. And even though the rules generally are Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka, but over here, since you're going above and beyond, I'm also going to go above and beyond and break the rules, and I'm going to give you Schar, even B'Olam Hazeh, because you went above and beyond and were Mechayiv yourself in Tzitzis. Similarly, says the Ramban, you're not Mechayiv to go and build a house where you're Mechayiv a mezuzah with two doorposts every doorway. That's not the case. You went ahead and you did it anyway. You bought a house, and you put up mezuzahs in each place, doorposts, and you're mechayiv yourself to have mezuzah in those doorways, says the Ramban, since you went above and beyond and were mechayiv yourself to do a mitzvah, so the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to go above and beyond and break the rule as well, and he's going to make sure to give you back schar b'olam hazeh also. And says the Ramban also, what about kiddush? When kiddush you're mechayiv to do. So says the Ramban, what you have to say about kiddush is you're not mechayiv to go out and buy fancy, expensive wines for kiddush. You're able to make kiddush on challah b'di'evit. So since you went ahead and spent extra money above and beyond what you're mechuyev to do, and you went out and bought fancy wine for Kiddush, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to pay you back above and beyond also, and he's going to give you schar, even though generally we say, schar mitzvah by Amaleka. And why am I quoting this Ramban? Because it's nogeya to this week's Parsha. The Mefarshim ask on this week's Parsha, v'haysela briskun aserlam, Pinchas in the end of the Parsha kills by the Maiso Kazi Bastur, Pinchas gets involved, kanoim pogimbo, so the Gemara says, the Psukim say, Tachas HaShekini Lelokav HaYechap Rabbanei Yisrael, he gets back a schar that what? V'ayisul HaBrizku Naselam, he gets a big schar. Frektim HaFarshim on Chumash, what do you mean? Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka, how can you pay Pinchas back and give him the kahuna for what he did? What do you mean? How does he get schar for a mitzvah? So the Teretz is based on the Ramban's Pashut. Since over here we say, what's the din by Habal HaRamas Kanaim Pogimbo? Halacha Mei Morinkin, you're not mechuyev to go ahead and kill Habal HaRamas. Pinchas went ahead, he went above and beyond the letter of the law, he took the law into his own hands, and he went ahead and he killed Kazi Vastur. He knew the right thing to do. But halacha ve'morin came. That's the same category as the Ramban says. the mitzvahs that you're not mechuyev to do, but you do them anyway, that's when you get schar bala mazer. The only time you say schar mitzvah by Amalek is only when you do things that are on the books, but when you do something above and beyond what the books tell you to do, then you can even get schar and ala mazer. I think that would be the teretz to the kasha that the Mefarshim asked by the story of Pinchas. How was he able to get schar bala mazer? Also because he was careful to do something which is halacha ve'ein, morin kein. What's taka, the reason why we say schar mitzvah by Amaleka? Why should we assume hayom la'asos and l'machal ha'kabas charim? Why shouldn't the Rabban Shalom pay us bala mazeh? What's the pshat in that? So the Mefarshim say the pshat, many Mefarshim say the same thing. I think it's pretty obvious once you hear it, that the pshat has to be that olam haba is something which is eternal, it's chayi nitzchiyus. So how can you ever put any experience of olam haba, of schar and olam haba, into olam hazeh? It's impossible to get paid back in olam hazeh. Olam hazeh is only ephemeral. It's not here for the long term. It's not here forever. If you're going to get schar, which is schar nitzri, so then how can you ever have an opportunity to get paid in olam hazeh if it's something that just wouldn't fit into olam hazeh? Any idea that we have of what olam above, what schar is actually going to be, we cannot say that that's going to be paid back in olam hazeh. I think if you think about it, the Mishnah has in Pirkei Avos, Yafa sha'acha shal koras ruach ba'olam hazeh mikol chayi ha'olam haba. The Michta Meleo, for those who have a chance, you look it up in Chelek Aleph, his mam Shemayru de Gevart, where he says, Yafa sha'acha shal koras ruach ba'olam haba mikol chayi ha'olam hazeh. He says, mikol chayi ha'olam haba means you take every pleasure and second of enjoyment that you had in your entire life and everybody that you know and everyone who ever lived on olam hazeh. You take all of that and you squash it into one experience, it's still not as great as 1 second in olam haba. When you think about it in that perspective, now you understand. When you have chayi nitzchiyus, you have schar that's waiting for you in olam haba, how's it shayach to ever speak about being paid back in olam hazeh? It doesn't fit. It has nothing to do with olam hazeh at all. It's something that's totally beyond anything that olam hazeh can ever offer. And when you think about that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you look at who wrote that Mishnah. That Mishnah, in fact, Yafa Sha'achas Shakar Resuach Olam Haba, was written by Rabbi Yaakov. That's what the Gemara. That's what the Mishnah says. And if you look in the Gemara Kiddushin by Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka, that is the memra of Rabbi Yaakov. So it makes a lot of sense. That's why Rabbi Yaakov is the one who says Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka, because he believes that Sha'acha Shal Karez Ruach Ba'alam Haba is greater than Kol Chayel Amazet. It's Pashut. Anyway, back to where we started, yeah?
Are we splitting up Schar between Karen and Bears? Because we say Oichel Berzim Amazet, but Karen comes on Haba.
Right, so the Mefarshim asked that Kasha also. How do you deal with that Mishnah? I think the Rishonim already asked that Kasha, if I'm not mistaken. I have to check, but I think the Rishonim already have that Kasha. How do you deal with that Mishnah of Karen Kayamas Olam Haba? What exactly does Karen mean and what does Peiris mean? Also, not so clear. So anyway, so back to the Vart over here. So the Beis Ephraim quoted from the Ma'arit El Gazi. How do you understand our Gemara and Shabbos? That Modar Rabba La Raisa, we're going to be able to get out of it by saying that we were an oinus and we didn't really want to accept it. I told you of his ovens, Vini's Vini. Says the Ma'arit El Gazi, the Teretz is that what? That since Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka, so the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't really give us the money right now. So if he doesn't give us the money, that's like Toyu V'yoyev. And Toyu V'yoyev is Vini Lav Zvini, and that's why he can say Madar Rabba L'Raisa. Good? Says the Beis Ephraim, how can you say such a thing? When do we assume that if the person doesn't give me the money, again, I own a shop, a guy comes in and he says, please, I want you to give me this item, I want you to give it to me, and at the end of the day, I'm so bothered by him, I say, okay, take the item, get away from me. Right? So we say, Tal Yuv Yav Lav Zvini Zvini. What if the guy says to me, I'll pay you next week? What's the din? Is that Tal Yuv Zavin or Tal Yuv Yav? What would you say? Oh, so we assume, Halacha L'maaseh, that Tal Yuv Zavin means, he has to give me the money right now. Why? I don't trust the guy. He's a liar, he's a faker, he's not going to end up paying me. If he doesn't give me the money right now, then there's no Gemiras Das. I don't trust him that he's going to pay me next week. Says the Beis Ephraim, that's only when you're dealing with Basar V'dam. When you're dealing with the Ribbono Shel Olam, he comes to you and he tells you, I'm going to give you schar and olam haba. Don't worry, trust me. We're dealing with the Ribbono Shel Olam here. You think he has to give kaviyacha? You think he has to give the money right now? You think he has to give the schar right now? And if he doesn't give me schar mitzvah b'ayalma, if he doesn't give me schar and olam hazeh, I don't believe him that he's going to give it to me later? Of course I believe him. So again, back to the kasha, says the Beis Ephraim. How could the Ma'arit El Gazi say that the teretz of the kasha is, why do we have Madar Rabba L'Araises? Because it's not Talyu of his oven, because he didn't give money up front. What do you mean? That's only a taina when you're dealing with Basar V'dam, when you're dealing with the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Of course he's going to pay me later on. Of course I have a Gemiras Das that later on he's going to give me the schar. I'm not questioning that. So if that's the case, then we're back to our question. How can you say Madar Rabba L'Araises if in fact this should be Talyu of his oven, Zvini, Zvini? So you look in the Chassam Sofer and his Chidushim on Avodah Zarah. Says the Chassam Sofer as follows. The only time we say Talyu of Izavin Zvini Zvini is in one direction. For example, says the Chassam Sofer, Let's say I'm a shopkeeper. Nobody ever walks into my store. I'm going out of business. So what am I going to do? I'm a smart guy. I'm in the Arab Shuk, right? This is what they all do. They stand outside the door and they call in all the customers. They make everyone crazy. I had no havamina to go into the store. Now that the guy's making me so crazy, okay, so I'll go in and I'll buy something, whatever, to make him feel good or to make him stop bothering me every time I walk by his store. He makes me crazy, so I'm going to buy something today. Says the Chassam Sofer, what's the din? Tell you, limkar. What if somebody, I'm sorry, the other way, what if somebody forces me to buy something? I have no interest in buying anything from your store. You sit there and pressure me till I have no choice but to say, okay, here's the money. I guess I'll buy some tchotchke from your store because I'm so annoyed by you. I didn't really want it. Says the Chassam Sofer, when it goes in that direction, tell you of a lakach. If somebody forces me to buy something, so then we don't assume that that's considered a gemiras das. The only time we say tell you of a zaven is when you're going on the mocher. Somebody walks into my store and he pushes me to make him give him the item to sell it to him. So in that direction, we assume tell you of a zaven zvini zvini. If you go in the other direction, it doesn't work. So what? So says the Chassam Sofer as follows. Here we're dealing with a situation where the Ribbono Shel Olam. What was the exchange? Were we the mocher or were we the lokeach? We the mocher or the lokeach? The Ribbono Shel Olam took his Torah, he had the merchandise, so to speak, and he forced it upon us. It says like some server, we don't say tell you of his oven in a case like that. If I'm a shopkeeper and I force someone to buy something from my store, that's not a gemiras das, it only works in the other direction. The Ribbono Shel Olam over here forced us to take the Torah, so that's tell you of a lokeach. We assume in such a case that there's no gemiras das. Aye, so what all the other achranim hold? All the other achronim who had the kasha, right? So what they held? Such a pasha to teretz. The Chassam Sofer brings a riot to this. He says, the Gemara says in Brachas, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not the same as Basar V'dam. Whenever we sell something, it says, Mocher Atzev, I'm very sad, I have this fancy watch, and now somebody makes me sell it because I don't have any money. Okay, I'm going to be very sad. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, when he sold us, so to speak, the Torah, so we weren't sad, he wasn't sad at all, he was happy to give it over. So it says, some server you see from there, when he gave us the Torah, it was like a mechira. He gave it to us. It's not that it went in the other direction. We were the lokeach. So therefore he says, when we're the lokeach, we don't say, tell you of his oven. Aye, so what all the other acharonim hold? How come all the other acharonim had the kasha? So you have to say, the other acharonim held, well, once that happened, we also sold ourselves back to him, because we sold ourselves as avadim. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. So we gave ourselves up to him to be avadim in exchange for him giving us the Torah. Well, once that's the case, that's also tell you of his oven. We were the mocher of ourselves, so to speak. So I assume that's what the achronim have to say to be miyashiv why this why this should be the case. Okay, so far so good. So far so good. It's worthy of pointing out that Mishnah Melech has a different kasha where he asks a very interesting spin on this whole gemara. He says we have a famous klal. The gemara has an adarim, baba kama, baba basra. Obviously, the most famous is in Gittin Daf Yud, where the Gemara has the sugya of Dina de Machusa Dina. And the Dina of Dina de Machusa means if there's a melech, and obviously the Gemara says we're talking about a government who is a just government, not a pirate government. That's what the Rishonim say. So if you have Dina de Machusa Dina as a klal that we always believe in, that if a melech makes rules, we have to follow them, we have to abide by the law of the land. So then over here also, Frek the Mishnah Lamelech. What are you getting into a whole discussion? Modar Rabbah Raisit. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to call you into a din Torah. You're going to start playing games with him. You're going to say, oh, you forced me to keep the Torah? Oh, that's not my problem. I didn't really want it. There's no gemiras das. Says the Mishnah, what kind of games? Din de Machusadina. If you have the president of the United States makes a law, we have to follow it. So Kavachomer, Bamanosha Kavachomer, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes a law. He tells us, Kala Tarakule says, Tariag Mitzvah, I want you to keep. Of course we have to keep it. I'll din de Machusadina. That's the kasha that the Mishnah Melech asks. Now, there are some achronim, the Beis Shmuel and Eben Ezer writes, that the whole din de machusadina is only din de rabbanah. It's not a din de rice. Well, if you assume like that, then there's no kasha. Over here, we're talking about pre-de rabbanahs. Even if you're going to say the Ribbono Shel Olam keeps everything, okay. Lamai said we don't hold like that. All the achronim don't like the Beis Shmuel, and they say, din de machusadina is a real din de rice. It will paskin real halachas based on din de machusadina. So once you assume like that, so what's the pshat? How do you answer the Mishnah Melech's kasha? Zok the Mishnah Melech, maybe you can say, based on the Ramah and Chosha Mishpat. The Ramah has a Yesh Omer Mechosha Mishpat that says like this. In Shin Samach Tes, the Ramah says that the only time we assume Dina de Machusadina is with regard to laws that apply to Karka. So let's say the American government makes a law, you're not allowed to jaywalk. Does that have anything to do with Karka? No, it has to do with me. The American government makes a law that you have to give the government $1,000 a year for whatever it is, for a Social Security tax. Right? So that has nothing to do with karka, that's dumb. It has to do with civilization. It has to do with humanity. So the Ramah says, perhaps din de machusadina only applies when we're talking about karka. But when we're not talking about karka, wouldn't apply at all. Okay, what's the pshat in that din? The Acharonim talk about it, why that should be the case. But if you say like that, that would be one teretz. So over here, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is telling us, I want you to keep the Torah. Aye, so you'll say, we're bound by the Torah anyway because din de machusadina. No, we're not bound by the Torah because din de machusadina only applies to inyanei karka. It doesn't apply to any law that a melech gets up and makes. So over here also, perhaps you'll say that it wouldn't apply. However, it's pashut, if you read the Ramah, that the Ramah doesn't hold to this the halacha, and the Acharonim don't assume like that at all. We assume pashut, din de machusadina means if a melech makes a rule, if a melech makes a law, we have to follow the law. And it doesn't make a difference whether it's a law that's nogea to karka, or whether it's a law that's nogea to anything else. We assume din de machusadina, bottom line, you have to follow the law, you have to follow the halacha. So over here, ask the Mishnah Lamelech, if that's true, so then why is it that we should assume that you have to get into this whole story of Madar Rabba L'Araisa, can we get out of it, can we not get out of it, do we really have a Gemiras Das to accept or not? It doesn't make a difference. If the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah, he is the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, he has the right to make the rules, and the same way Dina D'Malchusadina is binding, so too we should assume that the Taryag Mitzvahs are going to be binding as well. Zok the Mishnah Lamelech, perhaps he can be Miyashiv like this. He says, the Tur says that the only time you can assume Dina D'Malchusadina applies is when you have a melech that makes a rule that's applicable to the whole country. So you have the President of the United States gets up and he says, I only want the people in Woodmere to pay a certain tax. That's not Dina Malchusadina, that's not fair. Why should we pay a tax and no one else? But what if the President of the United States gets up and he says, I want the entire country to pay a certain amount of money per year for Social Security tax? Okay, so that's a fair law, that's just, and therefore we assume that that would be applicable to everyone and everyone would have to follow it. If he taxes only a small segment of the population, we're not mechuyev to pay because that's like a pirate. What right does he have to tax us just because we're living in this community? It doesn't make any sense. So therefore, says the Mishnah Lamelech, perhaps that's the teretz over here. It's a Gishmak of teretz. The Ribbono Shel Olam only gave the Torah to who? To Klal Yisrael. So that's like Dina D'Malchusadina only on Woodmere. That's like the President of the United States getting up and saying, I want only this community to pay money taxes every year. What about everybody else in America? That's not fair. Why should it only be us? It should be everybody. So if it's not on everybody, then we assume Dina D'Malchusadina doesn't apply. Well, Zak the Mishnah Lamelech over here also. The Ribbono Shel Olam only gave the Taryag Mitzvahs to who? To Klal Yisrael. So we can say that's not Dina D'Malchusadina. That wouldn't apply here because he didn't give it equally to everybody else. No one else has to follow the rules, only us. So therefore we would assume, since nobody else has to follow the rules, only us, that Dina D'Malchusadina would not apply. Once Dina D'Malchusadina would not apply, then we're back to Madar Rabba L'Araisa and the Gemara would make a lot of sense. I think based on this, he can answer Tosis Kasha. Tosis in Masechah Shabbos, not here, but Tosis in Shabbos on the parallel Gemara asked the Kasha that our Gemara says that the Umas Ha'olam have a taina, I klum kafisa aleinu har kagiyas. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to punish you. So they said, what do you mean? It's not fair. Why are you going to punish us? You gave Klal Yisrael an option, kaf aleinu har kagiyas, but what about us? What about us? You didn't give us a chance. So Tosis says, mashma ilu kaf aleinu har kagiyas lahay lahem tshuva. It sounds like if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have come to them and said, Kaf Alei Marka Gigas, and said you have to accept the Torah, and then later on they didn't keep to it, so then they would have been held accountable. Why should they have been held accountable? Why couldn't they say the same taina we said? What's the taina that we said? Madar Rabba L'Araisa, you forced us, so therefore that's why we didn't keep it. Why couldn't the Umas Ha'olam taina the same thing? So the Chidah writes, maybe the Teretz is based on this Mishnah Lamelech, the same thing. That had the Ribbono Shel Olam gone and forced the whole world to accept the Torah, then we would have been mechuyev to keep it as din de machusadina, because then we would all be equally responsible to keep the laws of the Torah. But now that he singled only us out and he said, well, only you have to keep Taryag Mitzvahs and nobody else, so you say, well, din de machusadina doesn't apply if you single out only one segment of the population. So maybe that's a teretz. But l'chora, we're still left with one problem, because if you look in the Maskana of the Gemara in Baba Basra, the Gemara goes through a whole sugya there in Mem Zayin. You look it up, the Gemara has, in the end, shani onse de nafshe me onse de achrina. The Gemara says, well, it's not the same if I, the Gemara again, for those who remember where we started, the Gemara says that the reason why we assume that talyuv is zav and zvini zvini, how come if somebody forces me to sell him something, why should we assume that that's a good mechira? Says the Gemara, because anytime I sell anything, I don't really want to sell it. I'm under duress, I'm under financial stress, that's why I'm selling it. And still we assume there's a gemiras das. So Sotu says the Gemara, when there's an outside factor that's forcing me, when there's a stress from an outside party, so I also have a Gemiras Das to sell. That's what the Gemara says. And at the end of the day, The maskana of the Gemara is not that way. The Gemara says, no, really there is a difference between my own financial stress that's created by me and a stress that comes from the outside source, and we would assume that that wouldn't be a good connection to make between those two stresses that I have in my life to sell something. So says the Gemara, what about when Bezdin goes and forces somebody to give a get? We know the halacha is that the Baal always has to say, Rotzani, the Baal always has to say, I want to be Megarish my wife, otherwise it's a get bal karcho. So when Bezdin goes and beats the guy up or does hachakas the Rabbeinu Tam, Bezdin goes ahead and makes the guy crazy until he agrees to give a get, we assume that's considered Ratzon HaBaal. How is that considered Ratzon HaBaal? If we assume that an outside party that forces somebody to do something, I don't have a Gemiras Das for that, it's only when I do it on my own, so then why should we assume, says the Gemara, why should we assume that when a Bezdin forces me to bring a carbon that I promised to bring, or Bezdin forces me to be Megarish as Ishti, that's considered Liritzoni, why should that be the case? What do you mean? I don't have a Gemiras Das when it's an outside party that forced me to do something. So the Gemara says, no, the answer is because mitzvah l'shma divrei chachamim. The Gemara says the teretz is that really, because I know in the deep, you know, in the depths of my heart, I know that mitzvah l'shma divrei chachamim, I should be doing the right thing, I should be listening to the chachamim. So therefore, even though the chachamim are coming along and forcing me, that should be like an outside party, and we should assume that really it's not gamar u'makne because I don't like to be forced by an outside party. It's only when I do it on my own that I have a gemiras das. However, when it's Bezdin coming and forcing me, and I know it's the right thing to do, mitzvah l'shma divrei chachamim, so then we assume that I'm gamar u'makne anyway. So then we're left with a kasha. I once asked this kasha to Rabbi Asher Weiss, and he thought it was a good kasha. The Gemara says, over here, that if you have an outside party that forces you to do something, I don't have a gemiras das. But if that outside party is a Bezdin, since we know mitzvah l'shma divrei chachamim, so therefore, I do have a gemiras das. So think about our story here. The Ribbono Shel Olam came along, v'chvod v'atzmo, and he said, I want you to keep the Torah. So what are you going to say? Modar rabba l'araisa? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have a gemiras das. You forced it on me. What do you mean? If there's a gemiras das when a Bezdin comes along, stam, some measly Bezdin in some town, nobody even knows who these Rabbanim are, they come along to me and they force me to give a get to my wife, I'm already have a gemiras das. Why? Because mitzvah l'shma divrei chachamim. So if the Melech Malchei HaMelechim himself comes along and says, I want you to do this, I have a right to say, oh, you forced me, I didn't have a gemiras das? How can you say such a thing? If anyone has an answer to that, I would enjoy that very much. Let's just close with a little Dvar Gada. And that is the Gemara over here. All the Mefarshim ask the Kasha, why does it say, Sham Tehei Kvuraschem? Right? The Lashon is not right. The Lashon really should be, Po Tehei Kvuraschem. If you don't accept the Torah, I'm going to bury you over here onto the mountain. So everyone has Torahs on this. I just want to share one Moira de Gevart that I saw. I assume nobody here has ever seen it. In the Sefer Dudai Ruvain. Probably nobody never heard of it. But there's a Sefer Dudai Ruvain that my father once showed me from a Ruvain Katz, who was a Goyen Olam. And he has an unbelievable pshat that he says in this Gemara. Why do we say Sham Tehei Kvuraschem? So he explains like this. Tosis has a kasha. Tosis asks, why do we have to have a kafu aleim harkagigas if we already said nasa v'nishma beforehand? Famous kasha of Tosis. How can it be? Why do Rabbi Shalom have to force us if we already agreed willingly to accept the Torah and to keep it? So the Medrash Tanchuma that the many Mefarshim quote says like this, that the only thing that we said nasa v'nishma for was what? Torah Shebechsav. Because Torah Shebechsav, so to speak, is easy to keep. Torah Shebalpeh, with all the sifkatans and the Mishneh Berurah and all the Bir Halachas and all the drushas and the Gzeiros Shavas, and that's complicated already. So you know what? We didn't accept willingly. For that, for the Torah Shebalpeh, the Ribbono Shel Olam had to come along and say, Kaf Aleim Harkagigas. That's the Teretz of Tosfos Kasha. That's what the Medrash Tanchuma writes in Parshas Noach. So when you talk about Tchias HaMesim, we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi. The Gemara discusses Tchias HaMesim. Where do we know Tchias HaMesim? Says the Gemara, Minalon the Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. How do we know that there's such a concept as Tchias HaMesim? Where do we learn it from? Is there ever a pasuk that says, by the way, there's going to be a Tchias HaMesim? Says the Gemara, no. We learn it from a drasha from here, and a smachta from there, a whole bunch of ideas, a whole bunch of options that the Gemara gives. How do we have a mucker for Tchias HaMesim? That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Yamed Beis. Zok the Gemara in the Hemshech HaGemara. Somebody who doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim is not going to be Yakum L'Tchia B'Tchias HaMesim. If you don't believe in it, you're not coming back. So now think about it like this, says the Dudai Ruvain. Klal Yisrael at the time of Kabbalah HaTorah didn't want to accept, again, Tosfos says, why do we need Kaf Aleim Harkagigas? We have Nasa V'Nishma. Medrash answers, we only said Nasa V'Nishma on Torah Shebechsav, but Torah Shebalpeh we didn't accept. The Ribbono Shel Olam comes along and he says, you don't accept Torah Shebalpeh? You don't accept Torah Shabbat Peh. You know what the consequence of that is going to be? That means you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Tchiyas HaMeisim is not a Mefurash HaPasuk. Tchiyas HaMeisim is only learned out of a drasha. If you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, then you're not coming back in Tchiyas HaMeisim either. You know what? Then Sham Teikvu Raschem. When you die, whenever your time comes to die, you're not coming back. You're going to stay there forever and ever, because Tchiyas HaMeisim is not going to be applicable to you. Says the Dudai Ruvain, that's the Pshat in the Gemara. Sham Teikvu Raschem doesn't mean here. I'm going to let you go. Go keep the Torah. Go do whatever you want. But if you don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, that means, by consequence, it also means you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim. If you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, it means you're never coming back. So once you die and you're in the ground, you're there to stay, and you're not coming back when we have a Tchiyas HaMeisim, when we have a Mashiach. Okay? I wish everyone a guten Shabbos. Sorry for going a little...